Hello and
Happy New Year!
Yes, for our New Year special, we're going back to our conversation with Mike Bodie about video game voice acting.
And we're bringing you the entire unedited conversation, including all the juicy advice there wasn't time for in the regular weekly show.
And we always start before the show, just checking the pronunciation of people's names.
Now, Mike, I always in my mind call you Bodie.
It's Bodie, like a bow and arrow.
It is Bodie. Oh, good.
Like Bodie and Doyle.
Yeah, well, Bodie and Doyle.
Like the professionals.
Exactly.
In my mind, you've always been Mike Bodie.
Depending on the age of the person, I'll either, if I have to go to like a reception, I'll be like, hi, my name is Mike Bodie, and they'll have to spell it.
Yeah.
And depending on the age, I'll say, you know, like Bodie and Doyle. And they'll go, oh, you're a bit young for knowing that, aren't you? And I went, yeah.
Or they'll go, what?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. What? Yeah, quite. Like,
bodies without the S. That's the least macabre way I can describe it.
Oh, God. Right. Okay. So, Sam's starting this one off. So, in your own time, Ms. Boffin.
Hello, and that's really low. Sorry, that was really hello.
That was where were you going from there?
That was, I have no idea, and I don't want to go there. Right, okay. How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to today's episode of How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is my co-host Mark Rice.
Hello, I'm waving, and this is my co-host Sam Boffin.
And we are about to have our weekly hit of voiceover fun with some scripts and a brand new guest.
Yes, so welcome to the practical podcast for voiceovers and everyone else who works with voiceovers. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, just hit the follow button and the newest episode will drop into your feed every Friday morning.
Woohoo! Now, Mark, true or false?
Okay.
I went to an all-girls private school.
I'm going to go true that you did go to an all-girls private school.
Absolutely not.
Oh, no, really?
Absolutely not. So I went to the local mixed comp.
Nice. That's a good one. But you can understand the image that you give off, perhaps.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm always amazed. I'm very ordinary background, and yet I don't sound necessarily as though I have.
But fair enough. Here's my true or false. I was once left entirely speechless during a live radio ad. Literally, I couldn't speak.
True or false? I can't imagine you ever being entirely speechless, to be honest. No, I don't think you were left entirely speechless.
So false. You think that's false? It's actually true. Live commercial. I was hanging upside down over a skip of entries in a car lot.
Of course.
And I cricked my back.
Of course you were.
Literally, I cricked my back just as we went live, and it took all of the breath away, and it was like I was winded. I literally couldn't speak.
Oh, my God. What
it was
did
horrible.
They do?
Absolutely horrible. They played a song. We did it about an hour later.
They played a song.
No health and safety back in those days, back in the 80s when I did it.
And, of course, we have a very special guest today. Actor
we do.
Mike Bodie.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolute pleasure.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Let's find out a little bit more about Mike, shall we?
So Mike is an Olivier-nominated actor, voice actor and voice director based in London. He's one of the founders, owners and performers of the Olivier and Tony Award-winning theatre company Mischief Theatre, who are the makers of the very famous The Play That Goes
Amazing.
Wrong, which is now in its 10th year in the West End, and the upcoming The Comedy About Spies at the Noel Coward Theatre.
Oh, fantastic stuff. Well, best known for his game VO work, Mike is one of the UK's most prolific voice actors in games, with over 130 games in 6 years.
Whoa.
A regular speaker at games conferences across Central and Eastern Europe, Mike is a voice acting mentor with Limit Break, the video game mentorship program. Well, welcome along to the podcast, Mike. Have you got a true or false fun fact for us?
I do, yes. I have died formally 4 times.
Oh my God.
Formally as in
being
IRL?
Dead.
Really? You've been pronounced dead. Now, is this okay? Is this false or true?
I'm going to go true, Sam, because who would make that up? How would you make that up, Sam? What do you think?
Okay. Yes, okay. Well, we'll go I just can't I'm going to go false.
Okay. Oh, so we have a split opinion, Mike. Let us know. What's the story?
The truth is that it's split. I have almost died four times over the years through various various occurrences. One was I was in a car accident when I was five. I got hit by a car, went headfirst into the windshield. There was a whole bunch of malpractice at the hospital, and I had to learn to walk again. The other one was I got a very rare illness a couple of years ago, which I had to run a GoFundMe to.
I remember this.
To pay for, because the NHS they make their decisions on whether they perform the operation based on your blood metrics, and mine didn't tick their box, so I had to raise money to get it taken care of, and people very kindly were sent over very generous donations to make that happen. So I was very grateful for that. And the other one was medication related, entirely accidental. That one I got carbon dioxide poisoning.
God, Mike.
Long story that one.
Are you a cat? You've got nine lives.
So
I know, five left.
What was the fourth? That was the fourth one.
So the two of them were as a result of a car crash I had when I was five. And there was two instances in the hospital where I was almost not with us this today. But so four in total. I don't really want to make it around five. I'm good.
No.
I'm good.
Well, on that rather macabre note, let's have a look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that? Good Lord, Mike. Wow. We put a little sting in there. That's
incredible.
That's an amazing fun fact. Wow. Fun-ish.
Fun-ish, yeah.
All right. Do you have the script file up? Can you see the two scripts, Mike?
Yes.
Excellent. Good. So we
and we are going with my one first, aren't we?
Okay.
So this is a little something that I did just before Christmas, in fact.
It looks to me like it's almost a company showreel about making videos.
It absolutely is, yeah. Oh, funnily excellent. Enough.
It feels like there would be a 5-6 second pause at the beginning to allow you to skip it. But if you as a viewer really want to invest, you can totally invest in it. But it feels like it felt like it would be there would be a 5 second like, okay, and you can skip it if you want, but you know, you could keep watching. Oh, you're watching. Okay,
amazing.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, it's a clever way of looking at it, that. That final line that you've given us.
Oh well, actually I was just saying it's unfinished, isn't it? I can see that immediately. I do have.
Should we just lose that final line?
Yeah, I was going. Okay. No. Well, you can. Yes, if you think it's enough.
Let's just lose that final line.
I was going to say it's unfinished.
I was going to say it looked a bit strange. So, what kind of company was it for? Is it a production company?
It is a production company, and they specialize in what they say they specialize in, making easy to follow videos.
Is it quirky?
Yes. I mean, it's light, certainly. I mean, you can make it as quirky or not as you.
I think I might have to.
Prefer.
Mike, any other questions for Sam?
It feels like, obviously now I know the truth, that there's a typo and there's a line missing, but it feels like the last line with the comma, the visual would then appear. So it would be like, if you need something from us, and then bam, up comes the logo.
Bang.
And the thing. And so it's risky because you're hoping that the person will view it to the end. But if they do, they get the little visual treat of seeing the logo or the product as opposed to having to spell it out for them with the text.
That's true. When we read it, we won't actually do that final line. So
take that line out.
Take that line out. That's all fine. Well, Sam, okay. I'll go quirky to start with and then we'll see what Mike does. And then you can show us what you did. I like ones like I quite like ones like this. I've done a few of these over the years, so let's have a look what I come up with. Complex ideas, endlessly fascinating, tricky to understand. Now that's why companies like ours make bite-sized, easy to follow videos like this one, packed with information, facts, and examples that bring complicated ideas to life. For audiences everywhere, from preschoolers and students to workforces and curious minds across the world.
Wow. What do you think, Mike?
I went quirky.
It has that classic British corporate read that is, it doesn't have a lot of, is the word prosody, I think?
Yep.
Where
up and like, downness. Yes.
The up and downness. Yeah. And it gets the information across in a way that nobody could ever go, oh, that's a bit offensive. or in any way whatsoever. It's such a classic British sound.
Mike, I've made a career out of this.
Exactly. It's like, if you can do it. Because it'll keep your coffers full.
In fact, it's actually quite self-deprecating in many ways.
Yes.
It has that kind of understated feel to it, doesn't it? We kind of make difficult things fairly easy. I know what you mean. I have to say, Mark, you went quite high on a couple of
deliberately.
Of
no, deliberately. Absolutely. I was trying to get a little
adding
bit of
prosody,
amusement in there. I'm not sure whether I succeeded or not.
No, I liked it. It was there was a lot of fun in that read.
Yeah, yeah. When Sam says that to me, Mike, it's like, that is not how I did it at all, is what she's saying.
But we said it before, that's the beauty of everybody bringing something different to something. That's what I love about it.
And the fact that you can do a script 100 different ways, indeed. Mike, I'm fascinated to see what you might do with it. Because you get asked to do a huge amount of different stuff, but a lot of characters. So I wonder what you're going to do with it.
So this was actually something that I encountered the hard way. During COVID times when they had the self-employment grants available, initially I was reticent to take it out because I thought, well, I don't really need it. But then I heard some took his out and bought himself a Rolls Royce. And I thought, okay, well, if he's going to do that and people are going to be fine with that, then I'm going to take it out and use it for, you know, upgrade some equipment, get some new reels done, all that kind of stuff. And I know that a lot of us ended up doing that as well. I had a bunch of reels made with J. Michael Collins, and I also, as a part of that, got additional training for the U.S. centric market because everything that I was doing was in American North American English for the U.K. market. So it had U.K. sentiment in performance, but American accent. And so then I brought that to the U.S. market, and they went, "Yeah, no, that's not going to work." And J. Michael Collins very keenly said, yeah, what you're doing works for the UK market, but it won't work for the US market because that's culturally and stylistically not what they go for. Mm-hmm. So, Mark, on your read, that is like exactly how I would have done it myself, is straight down the barrel, classic, sort of semi-reserved, energetic, easy to listen to. How I'm going to do it is how I think if I got this from my U.S. agent, this is how I would do it for the U.S. market, given the vocal age. Yeah, given the vocal age range that they would have given me this for.
Okay, go for it.
Complex ideas, endlessly fascinating, tricky to understand. That's why companies like ours make bite-sized, easy-to-follow videos, like this one. Packed with information, facts, and examples that bring complicated ideas to life. For audiences everywhere, from preschoolers and students to workforces and curious minds across the world.
I see what you mean about the difference in market. Yeah, absolutely. There were a number of question marks in there, I thought. You almost made some sentences into questions, which actually is good because then the audience goes, yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
Yeah, exactly. So I have to assume, I always assume that there's license for me to do something with the script. And particularly the Americans tend to be infinitely less precious about the text than culturally we are in the UK. In the UK, it's like, sorry, you're not the writer. Why are you changing it? Whereas in the US, they'd be like, no, I've got a writing credit from like 15 years ago. So technically I'm a writer. It's like, yeah, but all right. It's like, I gave someone a plaster. I'm not a doctor. I tightened the faucet, the tap. That means I'm a plumber, right?
No. That does, absolutely.
Yeah. So putting those things in, because obviously, like, I was treating it as though this is going to go for the U.S. market. It's going to be on, it feels like it would be something that's like pre-roll on a YouTube commercial.
Yep, totally.
So it has to have that kind of like, hey, this is totally casual. Like, I'm not interrupting that video you want to watch. You want to watch this thing.
But and actually, so what you're saying is casual, not casual.
Yeah, it's a performance of what people think casual is.
Yeah.
But obviously, like when you speak casually, people are not very clear with the words. They muddy things. They slur things.
Yeah.
But then if you hear that, it's like hearing those infomercials from small towns in America. It's like, hey there, come on down to Rick's Automotive Services. Yeah. We have best rates in the county. Come on down to services.
Oh, the Instagram read.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Or it's like when they when you get like the York Armories trying to do like Gen Z lingo
yeah.
to advertise the services. It would be like, this suit of armor is on fleek. Totes, no cap, babes.
Love it.
So that's fascinating, because that was entirely different to how they would expect you to approach something in the UK.
Yeah.
So, of course, then that means that when we're auditioning, as we often do, for US stuff from the UK, that's what we're missing. That's the bit of Lego that we're not putting in the,
yeah, good point.
In the, you know, in the read, if you like. We're giving them a UK read, thinking they want a UK voice, they want a UK read, but exactly the same way as you've learnt to do a US accent British read.
Yeah.
We need to be able to change it up for the US market.
Good point.
Yeah, and so what I encounter with stuff that I get from the States is they'll say, "Oh, we want some kind of UK accent," and generally, I can generally muster that for what they're looking for. And it's very rare that they want a wholly UK read with a UK voice. It's mm-hmm. it's kind yep. of skirting that line of they yeah. want a UK voice with elements of US sentiments. Which is merely just sort of a calibration of what we're already doing as it is, and I think in a lot of cases giving ourselves permission to be more flexible with the text, to put in the question mark when there's a period, because worst case scenario, if they like everything else but they don't like that one bit, and if they're good enough to be able to tease apart, hey, I don't like this bit of pre-life that they've done, but I like everything else, and I know a director who can just get them to do what I want. Then you're in the money. Now, granted, it's a double-edged sword, because like some people love doing a bit of improv or throwing some stuff, and particularly in game work, or changing bits and pieces yep. here, and other people go, no, I absolutely hate it. So I think what is better is whatever enables you to do the best performance for the product without going over the top. Because I know some people, as soon as you say, hey, you can put some pre-life and do some other stuff
yeah.
with the text, they go, right, I'm going to do lots of that to demonstrate my knowledge
sure.
of doing yep. good acting, because I think that's good acting, when it actually it's more of a tool as opposed to a rule. Mm-hmm. And so you have to find that balance of where's this going to work? Does it add anything? Or should listen to two versions where you do it with it and do it without it, do it as written, do it not as written. Which one overall is more effective?
The one thing that I can guarantee is that Sam won't do it anywhere near either of us.
Well, that's exactly what I was listening to, because yours in particular, Mike, was kind of it was very all the phrases were very separate phrases, mm-hmm. And I think you'll hear that mine is a lot muddier than that, if you like, a lot more. I don't know. Anyway, I'll do it, and you'll see exactly how entirely different I think it
fascinating.
Is. Which, yeah, okay. Complex ideas. Endlessly fascinating. Tricky to understand. That's why companies like ours make bite-sized, easy-to-follow videos, like this one, packed with information, facts, and examples that bring complicated ideas to life. For audiences everywhere, from preschoolers and students to workforces and curious minds across the world.
I wasn't as surprised as I thought I might be.
No, well, you've heard, yeah, absolutely. But it was very different to my, that what I'm saying yeah,
absolutely.
Is very different to Mike's.
Absolutely, very much
There's
so.
A greater sense of flow with the text. It's
Agreed.
It's like you've hit play on a video and it's just started playing the text. And so there's
Do you know
a greater
why that
sense
is, Mike? She ignores punctuation always. Just ignores it if it's a different line, doesn't care.
But it's just, it's fascinating, isn't it? Because... you know, if on the times that I've been asked to do stuff in the US, I've been specifically asked to do it as a Brit, like a Brit.
Yep.
And they've
oh,
made a point of that. So that really rather explains that. Because I need to learn how to talk like a, yeah, talk with my accent, but in an American way.
Because what
That's
I was doing when I read mine was, in my mind, I'm visualizing where the cuts are going to be. In congruence with the visuals. So the complex ideas, we're going to see something complex. endlessly fascinating. We're going to see something wherein someone is endlessly fascinated. And then we get to another shot of something tricky to understand, because I'm assuming that this will be tied into a visual element.
Yeah, and if I'm not
providing them the audio that's going to best support the visual element, because even if somebody's listening with their phone on silent, there might even be text. So then the primary method of communication of the product is going to be through the eyes. So our voice will be supporting the visual element as a secondary thing. Mm-hmm. But so I'm thinking when I'm reading this, okay, US style visual presentation, how can my voice support the visuals? Because they'll spend $250,000+ on the visuals, and then they'll pay me four or five figures.
We know. Yeah.
For the other thing. Yeah. So, like, we're only there to kind of support the other investment in that regard. So I thought of it from purely a visual standpoint.
It's a great way of looking at it, though, Sam.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to move us on, because it is worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts we're working on. We've changed some names and some details to avoid copyright issues. And while we're on the subject of scripts, you can find both the ones that we're using in the show notes of today's episode.
You certainly can. Now, Mike, you've bought obviously a very, very different script. Mm. Can you give us some little bit of info about it?
Sure. So this is actually a dummy script, which I have. So it doesn't actually exist for anything. But because of where I've gotten it from, I was prudent to change a lot of it.
Okay.
And such. So it's not actually a part of something that is purchasable,
but it's
in
close.
IRL. Yeah. But yeah, it's sort of close to to groups that provide that kind of thing.
So what's the character? What's the situation?
The character is, so these are lines from an audition script for a character who is he's described as a 50-something-year-old knight. And originally there were character references provided, and one of them that was the most prudent was a character from Game of Thrones. In the first Game of Thrones outing, not House of the Dragon, there was a character called Sir Barristan, who was I believe the king's in the show, the head of the king's guard, who then throws down his gauntlets and his sword in one of the first or second series and storms off because he doesn't want to do his job anymore to this terrible king.
I'm not a Game of Thrones person. I don't think Sam is either, but I get the description, certainly.
Yeah, so he's essentially, he's a knight, less King Arthur, Knights of the Round Table, knights who say knee, and more something gritty, grounded, cinematic, if you will. And so each of these five lines are, and this is the thing that's quite common with most game scripts and game scripts for auditions. Mm-hmm. Every single line is its own contained scene.
Yep.
And casting directors will intentionally put certain lines after the other in order to catch people out. So for example, you might have line one, and this is not for this one, but for example, you might have line one is taking place in a battle.
Yep.
Big, screamy, shouty. Line two is 3 weeks later, you're having a cup of tea, chatting with a mate. But because the actor has gotten their heart rate up from screaming and shouting in the first one, they haven't left enough time for their heart rate to drop back to a normal speaking level. They're still in the battle, even though contextually it's 3 weeks later. So what you don't hear is that actor making that emotional shift and understanding that I'm not in the battle anymore. I'm having tea with a mate. But vocally, particularly because with game scripts, we presume that we say one line after the other in the way we would in a play or on screen, that you get the scene and you have your lines. Person A says a line, person B says a line, person A responds to person B. But in game scripts, particularly for auditions, and this is primarily for auditioning, so once you get the job, you're in, and that is your reward, is to perform the character for the job, and they just so happen to pay you, and that's kind of the extra bit. But you get to perform the character, and there's somebody there to direct you, and hopefully they're also good at directing as well. But with audition scripts, you are essentially given the emotional highs and lows, the peaks and the troughs of the, if you imagine the character's emotional journey like a waveform, you're given the highs and the lows and maybe something in the middle. And it's presumed that if you're able to demonstrate your ability to perform the highs and the lows and some peace in the middle, and then some other technical screamy shouty stuff, that you can then do all of the mundane, domestic, tying my shoes, making a cuppa.
It's a great way of looking at it, Sam, isn't it? I don't think that we have had anybody break it down that you've got to be really careful that the different lines are different. Okay, just one quick question about the character, Mike. You said 50-something, and yet the script actually reads, I am an old man.
So this is another thing with game scripts is they will say the age, and it doesn't always mean they want... Like, so for example, I have a theory. Depending on your native language that you grew up with, your perception of a person's age will and their pitch that they speak at will be different. Yeah. So for example, I grew up in Germany. I speak German with a native accent. When I speak German, my voice pitch drops because that's how I learned to speak German, was in a lower pitch. Mm-hmm. When I travel to Poland a lot, so when I speak what smattering of Polish that I know to kind of, you know, order lunch and say, sorry, I don't speak English, just speak Polish, my voice pitch raises.
Yeah.
And I find, for example, in a lot of Chinese mobile games that I do, they will have a preference for higher pitched voices because culturally the higher pitch dictates age to them. So what is like a 40-year-old for me in English is like a 60-year-old for them.
Sure.
Because of that difference in pitch. So the 50s is more of a guide towards the vocal texture, the voice print, the emotional sentiment, but doesn't have to sort of exactly match that, if you will.
Interesting.
Also, in days of yore, you were old if you got
to 50. That's true, absolutely, and probably full of disease and everything else. Quite, absolutely. Sam, do you want to have a go first?
If you want me to, yes, of course.
I'm going to say, go ahead.
Okay. You bloody greenhorns. I'm an old woman. An old woman at arms, and I have seen more skirmishes and battles. Most of you have years. Nothing is more terrible upon this earth. And nothing more glorious. You've got a heart of gold. Don't let these folks take it from you. Enough! We're done here now. Enough! We're done here now. You will meet your maker. My lord. This blade of mine is yours, as this heart as well, that never belonged to anyone else. There are spirits everywhere. Ghosts, really. We carry them with us wherever we go.
I like that. Mike, what do you reckon?
Yeah, lovely. A thing that I always, it's sort of an one of the philosopher's questions where someone basically goes, Snape does it in Harry Potter. Yep. It's like, what is the difference between a bezoar and wolfweed or something? And he gives him the answer. So all of these lines have their own independent scenes. So imagine, if you will, if you've ever seen like a supercut, if we'd be like best scenes of Matt Trevelyan of Joey from Friends, and then we'll cut to season one, episode two, and then season two,
totally.
Episode two, and all that stuff. And so you just get like his one lines. But as soon as we see that, we know that we generally might know that something's happened before, something he is saying something because something has occurred. So the speech is the response to the immediate action that's just been presented. And then we have, you know, potentially an outcome. So with all of these, so for example, like it was good when you went on number three that you suddenly increased your pitch because this would be, for example, on this line in particular, enough, we're done here, now you will meet your maker. That would be, particularly also from a game perspective, that would be a lead-in line to probably a fight. So the control is relinquished from the player as they're shown a visual element or a cutscene, and then the control is returned to the player for them to then control their player to fight the person who's speaking, whether it's their player character or an opponent who has said this line. Mm-hmm. So obviously, providing that vocal energy and being much louder in an aggressive manner is great for this piece here. Knowing that the casting director has picked these five lines entirely. This is all you have for the character. So each from one line to the next. So for example, if you play a line, one line to be quite as you did, kind of your having a go or criticizing your fellows on the first line, knowing what the vocal sound of that is, and then going into the next one, either they if they're going to be vocally similar, they have to be a vocally emotionally distinct. Okay. So for example, so I've actually moved these lines around to catch people out, because, and just to show as an example. So normally it's actually the second line here is the first one. And so you start with something kind of, for example, speaking to a child, and let's flesh out the whole scene. So for myself, if I've directed people on this, it's treat it like you're walking down the street in your town, you're among the castle. You see a kid, he's just had the shit beaten out of him, pardon my French, by some other bullies. And somebody else has come in, another kid's come in and stepped up to try and protect him. But the bullies punch him in the face as well. So this kid who stepped up falls down. And the knight sees that the kid who's been punched, who tried to save this other one, he comes over to him and says, hey, you got your butt kicked, but you did the right thing, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. So that whole scenario is necessary and aids for the delivery of the line, because all of that context comes through. Even if you don't know the exact specifics, the listener's going to be able to go, there's something there.
Yeah.
Because you've put that level of detail into, it's just one line. It's two small sentences. But by putting all of that detail into it, shows that you're able to bring that level of detail and focus and emotion and attention to that character. And a great thing that I'll often tell people if I'm directing them is, particularly if they're doing auditions, because I've done this through the Limit Break mentorship program, is they'll generally go 1 through 5 all the way through. And I go, look, you have this wonderful thing called an audio suite where you can cut out the gaps. So after your first line, if you need to take a second to reset where your character is, what's just happened, what's going on, do that and just keep rolling. And then perform the line.
And indeed, for our listeners, I'm going to do that for all three of us, because rather than waiting. I thought that was a fascinating breakdown of both it and what Sam did. I'm a bit scared now to actually have a go. But I'm going to have a go.
Yeah, go for it.
And I think I might fail, but setting myself up to fail there. It's like, let's give it a try.
No, that's how we learn. Go for it.
Well, quite, absolutely. All right.
You bloody greenhorns. I am an old man, an old man-at-arms. I've seen more skirmishes and battles than most of you have years. Nothing is more terrible upon this earth, and nothing more glorious. Oh. Got a heart of gold. Don't let these folk take it from you. Enough! We are done here! Now you will meet your maker! My lord, this blade of mine is yours, and this heart as well, that never belonged to anyone else. There are spirits everywhere. Ghosts, really. We carry them with us wherever we go.
Yeah, lovely.
Fab. Yeah, absolutely. You lent into the old.
Yes.
Obviously, deliberately.
Yep.
Deliberately. I don't know how did that read for you, Mike?
Yeah, I haven't. I've heard this done a lot by various people, and I haven't heard that interpretation. Where you lean into the kind of the decrepitness of mm-hmm. age and the difficulty of speech because one's has diminishing faculties, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yep.
Yeah. Great. That. Oh, my computer's gone to sleep. Why did it do that? So 1 second. Yeah. So. To lean into that kind of oldness, if you will, is I haven't heard that done before, which is great. And you hit the points where obviously you have that element on three where you get louder to imply.
Well, I thought after you explained line two as well, I thought I did that quite differently as well. I did very differently than I would have originally done it, put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it Yeah, you've like this is it's you don't you've you're the first person who's done it that way.
So, as a casting director, does that make you prick your ears up?
Yeah, it makes me prick my ears up because this the making that choice is very bold.
Yep.
Because you're saying I think he's probably this.
Yeah.
And as long as the other performative and emotional elements are there, that might be something where they go, okay, I hear what he's done. I can hear all of the emotional intent behind it. What I actually want is not so much the decrepitness. I want that emotional intent you have, but let's move it away from the diminishing faculties and into somebody who is capable maintaining the emotional choices that you've made.
Sure. Yeah,
and so that would be, I think that would be worthy of because essentially what we want is we send off the audition, we want at least a callback.
Yeah.
Ideally, they straight book us, but the win is when they go, we love what you did, let's do some more on this.
Yeah.
And then the reason you will get picked over on a game from one reason or another might not have anything to do with you, or it might be because somebody did a small little thing which somebody really liked and went, great, we'll take that.
Yeah.
But if you were to also do that small little thing, your performance as well is equally as valid. But we won't ever know that because there's only one contract.
Yep. That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear what you do with it, Mike,
sure.
if you'd let us know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You bloody greenhorns. I am an old man. An old man at arms. And I've seen more skirmishes and battles than most of you have years. Nothing is more terrible upon this earth. And nothing more glorious. Your faces. Psst. Come here, lad. You've got a heart of gold. Don't let these folk take it from you. Yeah?
Enough! We are done here. Now you will meet your maker!
My lord, this blade of mine is yours, and this heart as well. That never belonged to anyone else. There are spirits everywhere. Ghosts, really. We carry them with us. Wherever we go.
Five very distinct scenes.
Oh, yeah,
yep,
so
absolutely.
Good.
I mean, you didn't give me the note that it was Sean Bean. at which case, we all could have done Sean Bean.
Well, yeah, maybe not like that.
No, maybe not like that. No,
that was yeah.
I love it. There
was some really quite. Yeah,
the original description
really
on it
good.
Had the character listed as British, so any accent in that realm is it works for it.
Look, on that subject of accents, actually, I have become so when I'm on if I do a role on stage, I am really happy to embody an accent and do embody many different accents. I have become over time really nervous about doing them on mic. And I don't know why. I don't know why I don't do them. Well, I do know why I've become nervous about them, because I hear all the time that people don't want to hear my accent of choice. They would book a Mancunian if they wanted to do
authenticity.
If they wanted a Mancunian accent.
Yeah.
And so I've become more fearful. And so I hardly ever experiment.
I think in the realm of... I think I know where you're coming from, because I have this similarly. So for traditional voiceover work, like IVR, commercial, corporate, e-learning, medical, I am most at ease and I can wield my instrument best for those mediums, utilizing my natural speech pattern. When I get into the realm of something more characterful, or whether it's generally for animation and games, or maybe they want a certain animated character for selling some plumbing product, I don't know. Then in those times is when I'm perfectly fine doing something accent-based, because I'm playing a character, and that character speaks with an accent which informs a characterization. Like the stereotype, you hear somebody from the West Country, they might be a farmer. Like, we all recognize that immediately. Mm-hmm. That's just like, it's a cultural trope, which is based on, you know, that a lot of farmers come from the West Country. Not all, but some. But like if somebody said, hey, can you do, I don't know, do Scots accented English and sell me this car, I'd probably go, probably just better get us
Scots I know what you mean. Yeah, so for a commercial, absolutely. But for a character role, very different.
Yeah, absolutely. I must be more, what's the word? Well, braver, I suppose. But I need to get over this worry that, particularly for character work, a worry, as I say, that I'd never have if I'm doing it in any other realm.
Fascinating. Yeah.
And anyway, but
because I've told people that who I do to the more traditional voiceover work with, I go, look, if you want somebody who's RP, who's going to do this well, this commercial well, just get somebody who's naturally RP. Go get them to do that. If you want me to do it for the U.S. market, great, I'll do that. Yeah. But it's going to sound better if you get somebody who has spoken it their entire life. As great as an accent as it is, and it might work, it might be great for other types of voiceover mediums. For your traditional stuff, it's easier just to get somebody who does it, you know, at the drop of a hat natively, because that's just, it's more efficient use of time, and it's going to sound better.
I'm going to stop our discussion there because that was really good, and there is a full stop at that point, and I will put a sting in there. I'm conscious on time because I'm also conscious that we've got some really good stuff, and I don't want to have to cut too much of it. So I'm going to say for our last 20 minutes, it's kind of whipping through the wild card and whipping through the through the question at the end, because we've got some fascinating stuff from you there, Mike. Really, really good. I think people won't have, certainly. I mean, I've had a light bulb moment already, I think, today. So.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
That is cool, cool. So sting there, and I go, all right, now it's time for the wild card. Mike, can you pick one of the scripts for either Sam or me? You get to choose and give us a new character or direction, what you would like us to do with it that's different to the original.
Yes, Mark, I want you to do script one as your character from script two.
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
That is quite cool.
As though they've taken your knight character and gone, right, my lord, you have to sell this. Oh, he's like, all right. What? He's like, okay.
I think this might knock him off his perch. We'll see. All right, I'll give it a go. Complex ideas, endlessly fascinating, tricky to understand. That's why companies like ours make bite-size, easy-to-follow videos. Video? What's a video? Like this one, oh. Packed with information, facts, examples that bring complicated ideas to life. For audiences everywhere from preschoolers and students to workforces and curious minds across the world. I'm not sure what we got there.
Extraordinary.
That's one word for it.
He was a bit bemused, wasn't he? Our knight.
I thought I'd been a wild card.
Why did they come to do this?
Dear, oh dear. It's like when I do those vintage characters and they talk about the internet. It's like, what's this faggled internet thing?
What do you mean I have to dial up?
Yeah, right, absolutely. Dear, oh dear. Tis what it is. Sam, would you like to choose one for Mike to do?
Yes, so Mike, I'd like you to do your script, but I'd like you to do it a bit like a Shaggy Dog story. So that you're going, does everyone understand what I mean by that Shaggy Dog story?
Yeah, which is
telling a story
on.
That is definitely, a story that goes on, but eventually has this punchline at the end. So as if you're telling the story and you're getting to the punchline, and it's totally up to you who you're telling the story to.
Gotcha.
That's tough, Sam. That is tough. <All right.
laughs> Well, this time, it's almost the opposite. He's got to string it all together.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
You bloody greenhorns, I'm an old man at arms, and I've seen more skirmishes and battles than most of you have years. Nothing is more terrible upon this earth and nothing more glorious. You've got a heart of gold. Don't let them folk take it from you. Enough. enough, we're done here. Now you will meet your maker, my lord. This blade of mine is yours, and this heart as well. That never belonged to anyone else. There are spirits everywhere. Ghosts, really. We carry them with us wherever we go.
And there's the punchline.
<Ta-da>. Did that feel strange, pulling it all together like that?
Completely mental.
It sounded a bit strange, pulling it all together like that. But the idea of the Shaggy Dog story is clever because it goes from one level to another,
yeah.
End.
Yeah.
I like that.
End.
How strange. Well, good lord.
So now you've got to give me summit.
Now, Sam, I'm going to give you script two because I think there's more to play with, but I will also get you to kind of pull it together. Mm-hmm. But I want you to do a very different character.
Mm-hmm.
I would like you to be a gymnastic expert. So like you're an Olympic gymnast.
Okay.
And you are, not an old man, obviously. Young woman, perhaps, maybe. And you are telling the story of how you won the Olympic gold at gymnastics.
Oh, gosh. Okay. You bloody greenhorns. I am an old man at arms, and I have seen more skirmishes and battles than most of you have years now. Nothing is more terrible upon this earth, and nothing more glorious. You've got a heart of gold. Don't let these folk take it from you. Enough! We are done here. Now, you will meet your maker. My lord, this blade of mine is yours, and this heart as well, that never belonged to anyone else. There are spirits everywhere. Ghosts, really. We carry them wherever we go.
I got the feeling you were actually giving us a demonstration of the gymnastics there as well. Certainly, spirits everywhere.
Middle,
boom! Over the
in
horse.
The middle, I did because you would.
Yes,
you?
I think you would. If you're selling how you created this amazing gold medal, I love that.
Yeah.
Not at all what I was expecting, though, Mike. I don't know what.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know really what I was expecting, but not that.
God knows what you were expecting.
That's so funny.
I did an arabesque in the middle of it. I like to think in my mind.
Absolutely. In your mind, yes. Don't crick anything, love. Well, as always, we've put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself in whatever character you like.
Absolutely. So, Mike, you are a stage actor as well as a director, as well as a voiceover actor. What elements do you find that you're keeping from stage work that you also bring into voice acting? And what are the things, I guess, that you just kind of leave behind?
A thing that I find that I take with me, physicalization, which is probably like an easy, you know, kind of acting one, voice acting 101 thing. That you must physicalize the text. But I think a lot of, I tend to do quite well with a lot of the comedic, kind of dry, sarcastic stuff, which tends to be the wheelhouse and of our work in Mischief Theater. And taking that into voiceover, particularly emphasizing pieces of lines and text and finding the jokes and things and the wordplay, is something that I take from my theater work into voiceover, which has served me really well. Which is not always, it's something that unless you have physically done it, it's not something you can always learn, because you learn by the doing, and particularly being on stage in front of 500 people unmiked eight times a week, you're only going to get those reps in by doing that and by listening to other people and getting the chance to try it, see what works and see what doesn't. And obviously every audience is different, but you know what works and when it does, and then if it's good you do that again, and hopefully you do it new every time. As far as what I leave that I do in voiceover that I don't do on stage work, we have a lot more license to pull weird physical posture, shapes, faces,
true.
And
yeah,
things
absolutely.
With our voice, because no one's gonna. We don't hear with our eyes. We essentially see with our ears, mm-hmm. particularly with game work and most forms of voiceover, that we don't see what the person's wearing, what they look like, the kind of weird kind of gurning they're doing to make that one sound and sound something really good. So that's something that I can't do on stage because they're going, sorry, mate, what are you doing with your face? But if I do that in a booth, they go, wow, I love take two. We'll take three as the alternate, but we're keeping two. It's like, you're welcome, sir.
Well, you see, cause it's fascinating that both the things that you are both taking and leaving behind, if you like, or emphasizing, are the physicality of things.
Yeah.
Both the physicalization of your body, but also then of your face, if you like.
And the things that physically are appropriate and fine in the booth, but not on stage.
Yeah.
It's the both physically based things. Because I think that's always a hard thing to find is, I think voiceover can be a very frictionless industry to get into. You buy a Blue Yeti mic and throw a duvet over your head. But the high level stuff is acting from your head to your toes, as cliched as it sounds. Yeah. And having that ability and willingness to kind of both try it if you don't know it at default, but to kind of give it a go is infinitely useful and you know, pays dividends. From utilizing it.
As you see, Mike, on this podcast, that's what I try and do every week and try and throw myself into stuff that I don't normally do.
Oh, he does. He does.
Oh, Mike, that is do you know what? You have given us some pearls of wisdom there.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
A reminder that all of Mike Bodie's details can be found in the show notes. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I've had a great time. Thank you. This has been wonderful.
Thank you so much. And of course, the scripts are also in the show notes. And do hit the follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That would make us feel very warm and
absolutely
fuzzy this 2025.
Indeed.
To have some 2025 reviews would
absolutely
be amazing.
Well, that's it for this week. Thanks again to the amazing Mike Bodie. And we will be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking, Mike, this is where we do the title of the show all together. How do you say that? When we'll be asking, How do you say that?
How do you say that?